Hi, I'm Sam Cedar from Ring of Fire. In order to continue bringing you the news and opinion that matters to progressives, we encourage you to help support our efforts. You can do that by shopping at Amazon.com using the link on our website at ringoffireradio.com. Ring of Fire will receive a portion of all sales that originate through our site, so you can shop as usual and help support progressive media. Just bookmark the Amazon link at ringoffireradio.com and help support progressive media. Welcome to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Sam Cedar. Today on Ring of Fire, America's lawyer Mike Papantonio will join me to give us his take on the recent attempt by the Trump administration to crack down on leaks. Mark Potuck from the Southern Poverty Law Center will talk about the rising incidence of anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim violence in our country. Heather Digby Parton will help analyze Trump's address to Congress from earlier in this week. And Connor Kilpatrick from Jacobin Magazine will join us to discuss his latest article, Steve Bannon's Autobahn. Want to help support this show and keep it free from corporate influence? Sign up for the Ring of Fire podcast today. You'll have the option of signing up for a free hour of our show or becoming a member to get the full program without commercials, plus bonus content you can't hear anywhere else. Go to ROFpodcast.com and sign up. That's ROFpodcast.com. And help support independent media. Joining me to start off this week's show, Heather Parton from Salon.com. You may also know her as Digby. So, Heather, this week we saw President Trump give his first speech to a joint session of Congress. And it was the big pivot moment, more probably for the media than for Donald Trump, frankly. But the speech was an hour long. It was obviously off of the teleprompter, which I had been led to believe for the past 8 years was the sign of the devil when you read something from a teleprompter. It seemed to come as such a relief to the media that he could actually just deliver this pre-written speech that we had from all quarters, it seems like. The announcement that Donald Trump was finally president, as if he wasn't, in fact, president yet.
Well, you had the sense, I did anyway, in watching the punditry. And this was happening even before the speech, by the way, because people got word that he was going to make a big change in his immigration policy, which did not happen in the speech. But they had sort of foreshadowed that. So the media was very excited about the new Trump that was coming out. And then after the speech, of course, it was rapturous, reviews of his new presidential bearing, the proverbial pivot. And there were plenty of pundits who did say, tonight he finally became president, as you say, which is just weird since he's been president since he was inaugurated. And you could sense that they were desperate for a chance to do this, right? I mean, they were looking for some kind of opening to change the narrative of the president versus the press and to get, frankly, back in his good graces. I could not see any other point to this. It was not, and, again, it's not across the board. There were plenty of people who viewed the speech with a more dispassionate kind of view and recognized that this was not, and it wasn't the first time he's ever read a speech from a teleprompter. He has done that before, and he knows how to do it, however badly he does it. He's not good at speaking on a teleprompter, but that's fine, but this isn't the first time he's been able to deliver a speech without the usual kind of Trumpisms that make him sound, imbecilic. And, so we read the speech, and he wore a nice striped tie, and he didn't, look like a clown up there. So everybody now is very excited. I mean, this is another step in the normalization of Donald Trump.
Right.
And this is something that it was inevitable, I think. I mean, it's very hard, especially for the media, to keep up the kind of, sort of energy that there's been since the inauguration against Donald Trump. It's very difficult and very uncomfortable for them to be in that position. So it was inevitable that they were going to try to do it. It's a little more disappointing to see some Democratic pundits who should know better jumping on that bandwagon. I mean, I could see reporters doing it, but actual people who are there allegedly to represent the opposition, kind of, getting all excited about Trump's new.
Well, I mean, specifically, on CNN, Van Jones said that the moment where Donald Trump, and I found this just a bizarre reaction to this. And he sort of, qualified it afterwards. He said he was talking about the moment when Donald Trump recognized the widow of the Navy SEAL who was killed in a ground raid that President Trump approved to take place in Yemen. It also killed 8 children, at least, one of whom was an American citizen. In fact, which did not get the same type of shout out during the speech. But Van Jones, in remarking on that moment, found it to be one of the most remarkable moments he's ever seen in politics, which I just found just utterly bizarre in a way. He also said that was the moment that Donald Trump became president in some way and that it was somehow unifying. And then he sort of, backed off it a little bit by, saying I, of course, didn't agree with the content of the speech, but the idea that one should get that type of credit, just generically, let's just for the moment not remind people that Donald Trump earlier in that day had blamed the generals for the death of that that soldier, that there were reports that very day from officials saying there was, in fact, no intelligence, actionable intelligence that was gained on that mission, it was a risky mission that the Obama administration had turned down, that Donald Trump apparently approved of it with basically a wave of a hand at a dinner that he was at. And putting those things aside, he recognized this widow, totally appropriate and sort of a classic move at these type of speeches to bring someone in there who can garner some type of sympathy and perhaps in this instance for a Republican, patriotism and militarism. But then he also had something to say that what I thought was rather catty was that this dead soldier whose widow is sitting up there is probably happy now because he got such a long applause break, a record break, where I think, by many standards, at least, at the very least, that would be sort of a controversial, trade-off, your life for an applause break at, Donald Trump's speech. And this moment was heralded by not just Van Jones, I mean, by other reporters as being sort of quintessentially presidential. And gosh, it seems to me that you could do an entire panel on just the idea that that's what it takes to be presidential in this country.
Well, I mean, come on. First of all, what you said was absolutely true. This is a very standard, sort of gambit at these joint session speeches. I mean, at the State of the Union, there's always they choose these guests ahead of time. We know that. This was a bit of a surprise. I don't know that people knew she was going to be there. But nonetheless,
a surprise only because the dead man's father has called for an investigation. So that was the political machinations here, is that you were able to get the widow when the family was clearly so upset by the raid in the first place. Digby, I hate to cut you off. We got to take a break here. I'm up against a hard break. But let's when we come back, let's continue to talk about this, because this is a very important. I mean, there were some potential policy prescriptions in there that I think we should talk about, if you could call them that. But this is also very important in terms of where the media is going to be over the next 6 months, year, God help us, 4 or 8 years. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Heather Parton. I'm Sam Seder. This is Ring of Fire Radio.
I'm a trial lawyer. I've spent countless hours poring through documents that tell the story about the ugliest side of corporate America. Corporate media refuses to talk about these issues.
The conduct by this company was deplorable.
I'm going to paint a clear picture about how disturbing, how corrupt corporate conduct has become in modern America. These are stories that no one else can tell. I'm Mike Papantonio, host of America's Lawyer. Question more.
Find out more at ringoffireradio.com.
Welcome back to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Sam Seder here with Heather Digby Parton from Salon.com. So, Heather, I apologize. I had to cut you off in the last segment as we were talking about this rather, as far as performative politics goes, rather banal exchange that Donald Trump had with the widow of a soldier that Donald Trump basically approved the mission in which he was killed, then subsequently blamed it on the generals. And this moment was heralded as some type of presidential breakthrough, and in terms of how the country sees Donald Trump, which just seems to me to be bizarre. But you were saying that this is like a gross. What's behind this sort of like outpouring of almost, it feels like relief from the press?
That certainly is how I see it. I have to say that it seems as though people were just desperate. The media was just desperate for something to give Trump credit for and to, prove to him and to Republicans around the country that they're really not the disgusting, despicable, deplorable, horrible people that Donald Trump says they are every single day. And that somehow or another they can prove that they're really not biased and that, this is an old story, right, Sam? This goes back. The conservatives have done this for years where, they claim that the media is biased, they're liberal, they hate them, and then what that does is sort of compels the press to go out of their way to not be that way so they can prove that they're not. So they've been looking, that they are generally sort of desperate to find some way to prove that they're not what Trump is saying they are. I guess that's a human reaction, but it's particularly dangerous in Trump's case because it's much more of a game than it's ever been before, and it's much more vicious than it's ever been before. This thing last night or the other night when we saw it, the speech, what struck me about it most was that this was the same man who was insulting beyond words toward another gentleman, family member of a soldier who'd been killed overseas, Khizr Khan. Which had become a big deal during the Democratic convention, and he had gotten up and made a speech about his son and held up the Constitution. It was a very moving thing, and Trump had been absolutely insulting and demeaning toward this man, as had Republicans all over the country. And so here you have this other situation where this poor woman. No one with a heart couldn't have felt her grief. Her husband had just died 2 weeks before. This is a very raw, raw grief that she was undergoing. And then for him to come and do that and to basically dare people to say anything or to do what he did to Mr. Khan, I just think, that's one of the most cynical things I've ever seen. It is as cynical as it gets, even beyond his ridiculous comment about how, you know, the same Ryan Owens is happy now because he got a lot of applause. Only Donald
right.
Trump would care about something.
Well, you know what's stunning about that too is that, you know, I'm looking at a piece from earlier in the week by Chris Lizza, one of sort of the classic Beltway type of journalists, who says that this showed two things about Donald Trump. That he was able to grasp that this was a real moment. Now, I mean, honestly, how low of a bar, the idea that you've pointed to a recently created widow that you personally had a hand in making her a widow, how completely out of your mind and out of touch with reality? I mean, how could you even end up at the podium if you didn't have a sense of reality that was a real moment when you stop and give it recognize her, and that he showed some grace by not stepping on, by actually giving her the spotlight. I mean, those are the two things that he's written here. Now, I think the thing that people might have forgotten about the press that I think, like you say, you and I know quite well from the Bush years. If there's an opportunity for the press to talk about the performative aspects of politics, and, you know, and to a certain extent, this was true with Obama. But I mean, the disparity between Obama and Trump would have been such that, you know, we would have been completely overwhelmed by the reporting on Obama's charisma. For the press here to make such a deal, a big deal of his being able to do some basic sort of craven political machinations is, I think it's two-part. I think one is, like you said, it's this, you know, this notion of this real desire to want to be perceived as balanced in some fashion. They had an opening here. But it also was, I think, reporters being exhausted by the mendacity. Because, you know, whereas we sometimes get these situations with Trump where he says something that is just a lie that someone who knows nothing about politics could distinguish, right? Donald Trump gets up there and says, "I am 12 feet tall," and the reporters can say, like, that was a lie. versus his litany of policy pronouncements and supposed facts to back them up that were also lies, but of course would require a moment's worth of digging to comment on. And the reporters and the commentators following the speech, largely speaking, couldn't be bothered with the actual details of what he said. We're going to take a break. Let's come back in the next hour, Digby, and go over some of those whoppers. And let's talk about some of the really disturbing things that seem to have gone under the radar that Trump talked about in that speech. I'm Sam Seder. This is Ring of Fire Radio. We'll be back with Heather Parton, or Digby, in the next hour. Coming up, Pap will be in studio to discuss his take on the latest leaks, and he and I will debate whether or not the leaks are helping or hurting democracy. I'm Sam Seder. You're listening to Ring of Fire Radio.
Falling from high places, falling through lost spaces. Now that we're lonely, now that we're so far from home, watching from both sides, these towers been tumbling down. I lost my mind here.
Folks, the Ring of Fire is sponsored by JustCoffee.coop. That's JustCoffee.coop. If you like fair trade, delicious coffee, tea, or chocolate, head over to JustCoffee.coop. Use the coupon code MAJORITY and get 10% off. There's free shipping. You have no reason not to get this great coffee. It's a great outfit in Madison, Wisconsin, which supported the protests there. JustCoffee.coop.
Welcome back to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Sam Seder. Joining me now, the co-host of Ring of Fire Radio and the host of RT America television program, America's lawyer, Mike Papantonio. So, Pap, of course, more insanity this week, but let's take a step back and just talk, you know, more broadly speaking. We had at the beginning of this week reports that both from, I mean, I guess from leaks, that the White House, Sean Spicer and Reince Priebus, tried to get the FBI to make public comments about what is supposedly an ongoing investigation about Donald Trump and Russia, Trump administration officials, I guess, and Russian connections. Also, we have reports that the White House tried to get Nunes and Burton, the respective heads of the intelligence committees in the Senate and Congress, to talk to the press, arguing that there was no information. And of course, those two did that. But all this was revealed via leaks. And of course, it raises a couple of different questions, not just about the administration's behavior, but also about the behavior of the deep state.
Well, let's get away. The deep state is so overused. I mean, the term is overused, Sam. The deep state it's something that comes from, Turkey is where you started seeing the concept of the deep state originate. That's where the military has controlled politics over there for decades. And okay, so here's the point. Let me preface this by saying, we need to know if improper conduct takes place in the executive branch, in the judicial branch, in the congressional branch. But we also need to be very aware that those are constitutional elements of our U.S. government. They're separate elements of our U.S. government that have been given certain rights to conduct political policy in this country, either public social policy or political policy. Okay, now step back and understand that in 1975, Frank Church, I think it was from Idaho, had to have hearings over the fact that the spook industry, the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, and God knows how many of the spook industry, how many entities of the spook industry, were actually doing this leaking program by way of several senators and several congressmen. They were doing it with the media. But the point is, they were doing it to affect public policy and political policy. They wanted a war in Vietnam. They wanted a Cold War with Russia. They wanted a war with South America, the Sandinistas. They wanted all of this to take place. And so, so what they did, they found out that the CIA had actually trumped presidential power in congressional power by putting pressure on journalists, by putting pressure on congressmen and senators, by putting pressure even on the judiciary with leaks and with made-up stories that J. Edgar Hoover was putting out there. I mean, this is a guy who dressed up like Shirley Temple, for God's sakes, when he was in the privacy of his office, and that would ruin people's lives with the power of the FBI. Or the CIA did the same thing. So all of a sudden, the church hearings start uncovering all this. And we start seeing that that this is not just about, a couple of errant CIA types or NSA types that simply can't get their way. This is a policy that originated within the spook industry. And if they wanted to promote more arms sales, they would put pressure on the right people with, they had pictures of politicians meeting with not some women who aren't their wives. They would do, they actually threatened to kill at least three journalists. That's how serious this had gotten. We were so close to having an equivalent of Turkey, where the military in Turkey has not allowed any elections to take place, where it hasn't been influenced by the military. So here we have this in the United States. Now stay with me just a second here, Sam. Then you've got these absolute bonehead progressives that are so far out there that they would say, oh, yeah, well, this is okay as long as it beats up on Trump. This is okay as long as it beats up on somebody we don't like. They don't even have the wherewithal or the insight to understand this is far more dangerous than anything so far that we're looking at with Trump. Now, don't know what this future is going to hold. The guy could get even scarier than that. But the truth is, for an intelligent progressive to say, oh, yeah, this is good. I'm going to allow this because I don't like the guy and maybe we can unseat a presidency. Think about how dangerous that is. And then tell me, gee, that's okay.
Well, let me push back a little bit on this, because I think to a certain extent, it is the notion that we could have elements of our intelligence services and theoretically, you know, FBI being, a domestic intelligence service, undermining our elected leaders is, I think, very problematic. And like you say, the church committee, I mean, largely my understanding focused on things like COINTELPRO, on CIA, which was FBI, CIA assassination programs and spying, and we've got things like the FISA court that came out of it. I mean,
but it was heavily domestic, Sam. I mean,
I understand. Yeah, COINTELPRO was domestic,
right.
and FBI. But we did get the FISA court, which was to protect people on the phone, essentially, or wiretapping of people in this country. But there also
How did that work out for us?
Well, I mean, I think not as well as I would like it to.
Yeah,
I mean, without a doubt. But
because we lost control.
No, and I agree. Okay. And I think, you know, the question about leaks that have come out about the investigations that have been ongoing about members of the Trump administration and his wider circle. I mean, there's another perspective to take on this, which is not dissimilar from what Glenn Greenwald has argued, and I think is fairly consistent with my view on this. But we're up against a break. Pap, let's talk about this when we come back, because I think this is an important thing for folks to contemplate, because I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Ring of Fire Radio. Welcome back to Ring of Fire Radio. I'm Sam Cedar, here with my co-host, Mike Papantonio. So, Pap, before the break, we were talking about what has been a really an ongoing story, it seems to me, over the past 6 weeks, really since Donald Trump was inaugurated, which is at times a cascading, at other times sort of a drip of leaks about investigations or that have taken place or that are ongoing regarding Donald Trump and either members of the Trump administration or people associated with the Trump campaign. And there are two different perspectives on this, and I think they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. One is that it is very problematic, the idea of intelligence agencies clearly trying to undermine or manipulate elected leaders by leaking. And, you know, this is...
Well, Sam, not just elected leaders. They are undermining political policy, okay? That's my point. It's not just about an elected leader. Now, these these, you know, these Hillary holdovers that can't get over the idea that she was a terrible candidate and that they should have given Bernie Sanders a chance to run. These Hillary holdovers still look at this and say, oh, my God, we don't care what the intelligence industry does. We don't care if they create a Cold War with Russia. We're going to let that nut job, McCain, create whatever he wants to create as far as this unsettling aura, this era of everybody being so unsettled about world peace, because McCain is the guy who all of the arms industry goes to when they want something done. McCain's fingerprints are all over this, Sam.
I just want to disaggregate a couple of things. I mean, it is clear, it seems to me, that there is an ongoing investigation. I mean, we know from reporting at this point, and it's leaks. And look, these leaks are just as illegal as any other leaks that we get from intelligence services. But there's also this concept of whistleblowing. And there is certainly a perspective that's out there that there is an ongoing investigation, that there was concern by people in the FBI that the investigation would be quashed by a new Department of Justice head, Attorney General, who obviously closely aligned with Donald Trump. I mean, was a member of his campaign.
He's going to make this go away. I can promise you he will. And that's wrong.
It's really problematic. And so on one level, the real story, it seems to me, could be that we have whistleblowing. And on one hand, we have progressives who are championing the right for these intelligence agencies to basically whistleblow on an administration that might be trying
to
quash.
We have a constitution.
When Thomas Drake did this whistleblowing, I was supportive of what he was doing, even though it was against the law. When Edward Snowden whistleblowed,
and you know what?
I'm supportive of him, and Chelsea Manning, supportive of her.
That's
when
right.
When they did this whistleblowing. And so it's quite possible this is a very similar situation.
Well, okay, but here,
disaggregate for a moment that this is Russia. If this was about members of the Trump administration having deals, banking deals, having all sorts of complicated financial transactions with any other large entity or any other large country, and we're seemingly making policy, because I don't think either one of us think that Donald Trump ran because he had a new vision for the way that we organize geopolitics in the world. And look, I'm not making any determination whether or not we should have a more close alliance with Russia or not.
Sam, this is not even about Russia. It's about the fact that we have a constitutional rule of law in this country. We have an executive branch. We've got a congressional branch. We've got a judicial branch. Nowhere in the Constitution is there any mention about a spook industry entity that's supposed to make policy in this country. As a matter of fact, this is what Frank Church was terrified by. This is why we had months-long hearing, because the spook industry was running the government. And to me, to have these pablum types that listen to the Russians hacked the DNC. Maybe they did. I'm sure they did. But did that interfere with political policy? It did not interfere with political policy. I don't think
that the issue whether or not they hacked or didn't hack is really the issue here. The issue is whether or not we have an administration that's functioning in the best interest of the United States.
Well, we don't know that, but that's what we have checks and balances for.
But we don't have any checks and balances. I mean, we have whistleblowers. Do you believe in the concept, though, that it's possible there could be a legitimate leaking and whistleblowing if there is an investigation that they are afraid will be shut down unless there is a political response from, let's say, intelligence committees?
If you follow the money on this one, it's going to go three places. It's going to go to the arms industry that wants a Cold War with Russia. You may think that's a good thing. I think it's a bad thing.
But don't we you know, already
wait, wait,
have
wait,
that?
Hey, it's going to go there. It's going to go. You're going to follow the money to the media, which, by God, they love a war. You know, they're the same people that invented Iraq. They want a war. Why, Sam, hold on just one second. Why do you think McDonnell Douglas advertises on ABC and NBC and CBS? Are you going to go out and buy a rocket?
Donald Trump called for $64 billion increase in military spending.
Oh, right.
If this is about arms manufacturers, they would want to keep Donald Trump in place.
It's about a Cold War. It's about a Cold War, Sam. It's about the idea that we don't have spooks determining who we go to war with, like they did, by the way, in Iraq. That was all generated by the spook industry, who created white, who created yellow cake radioactive powder, who fed it all to the New York Times through Judith Miller.
My understanding of that is that was not that was a function of elected leadership looking for what they wanted, because that same intelligence was rejected by the Clinton administration.
Okay, can I tell you something? We're getting way off on the point,
right.
But the point is this: we don't allow the spook industry to create political policy in this country. And when you have Democrats who are so upset that Trump is the president, and they should be, because that most of them are responsible for that, they're so upset that Trump is our new president that they're willing to throw out the Constitution just to get even. And that's what's happened with Hillary Clinton and those Podesta fools who lost the election. They want to generate this Russia issue. You got the war hawks who want to generate this Russia issue. You've got the media who would love nothing more than to pay back Boeing and McDonnell Douglas for their advertisements on the air. This is all about money, and the money generation is taking place
by
and through the spook industry.
So let me ask you, do you think that there is, I mean, is, let me just ask you a couple questions. One, do you think that there is an ongoing investigation about connections between the Trump campaign and Trump campaign officials?
Yeah, I think it's going to be half-witted. I think it's going to be a half-witted investigation.
The investigation's already gone on. And so do you think that it is, do you think it would be likely that Sessions may shut this down? We already know from the FBI.
He's not going to shut it down, Sam. He's going to do
but
worse.
But do you think the reason
worse
why he's
than
not...
that. He's going to do worse than that. He is going to give you the appearance that something meaningful is happening.
In that instance, don't you think that that leaks in that narrow instance is something that we would want to encourage from whistleblowers?
No, I just believe in the Constitution. Right. I just believe in the Constitution, Sam. That's why we have checks and balances. That's why we're not Turkey or we're not India. We're not a third world country where we are driven by a spook industry fiat. And that's what's happening in this country right now. And it just is amazing to me that the average progressive doesn't understand that. Or if they do understand it, they're not willing to accept it. That scares the ever-living heck out of me. I got to tell you that.
All right. Well, Pap, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. If there's, I think leaks, obviously, which we have seen certainly through the Obama administration, selective leaks by the CIA to justify a drone program, whatnot, well-versed in that. But in the context of leaking about an investigation out of fears that it's going to get shut down and buried, to me, that's whistleblowing. But we're going to have to leave it at that. We will pick this up, I'm sure, sometime in the future.
Yeah, let's do this again next week, okay?
We will.
Okay, Sam.
You can catch Pap's show, America's Lawyer, on RT America, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, or you can go to ringoffireradio.com to learn more. When we come back, Heather Parton and I will keep talking about this week's speech from Donald Trump. And if you missed any part of this show, go to rofpodcast.com to sign up for our free one-hour podcast. And if you want the full show, without commercials, become a member. It's your support that keeps Ring of Fire Radio on the air, and your membership, which supports Ring of Fire. I'm Sam Seder. You're listening to Ring of Fire Radio. Hey, folks, Sam Seder here. You're listening to a free version of the Ring of Fire Radio podcast. If you want the total show without commercials, head over to rofpodcast.com and become a member of this program. Look, this is our main source of revenue for Ring of Fire Radio, and you can help keep us on the air by signing up for a Ring of Fire podcast membership. For far less than a cup of coffee a week, you can support this program and get our full show. Head over to rofpodcast.com right now
and sign up. Much appreciated.